I'm always one who can't let things go. And I was waiting for the time, and my good friend Bob Harris said, yeah, you need to say something about this. I think it was a political thing, Mark, to clarify that. I don't want anybody going right. home thinking, oh, no, they think it's all one big mess, but it isn't.
Yeah, I think we understand that when just because a religion has is monotheistic, believes in one God, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the same one that that we worship. And Yahweh, the God of the Jews, is the same God of the Christians, because we're an extension of where the Jews started out. The Jews, as a secular nation, have rejected the message of Jesus as their Messiah. The Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, is out of the Jewish religion, but they're in a thing of rejection. But they will come back in. But the God of the Muslims and the main gods of other religions is not the same God, and I think we understand that. I'm sure we do. Would you? Let's see. I'm going to go to some things here that are going to lead into the main part of the worship and the message, but. You know, last week we were talking about spiritual battle and how the enemy works in our minds, and then I said probably we're going to get tested in that this week, and a lot of that has come, and God is preparing us. He tells us things ahead of time so that we can be ready and engaged for what he wants to give for that rhema. And you know, I think I mentioned last week that our prayer life really has to step up, because things are getting more greatly increased. Now maybe we think, well, I pray enough. I don't have time. I got this and I have that. And yet Paul says that we can pray without ceasing, and that is an attitude of heart, and that is something that we need to seek after, just like we seek after the things that we want to do in this life. You know? Yeah, and that really is an important thing. And I think that all of us, we at least have to start by asking God to enable us and give us the ability and bring to remembrance throughout the day that we are to be a house of prayer. The church should be a house of prayer. It should be the pillar and ground of truth. Right? And so that's why it's important. That's why Glenn doesn't like to let little things go, because the truth has to be said. Right? And where there could be some confusion, we want to get that straightened out. So this is good. This is a good thing with where we're at. And I'm gonna start out in John chapter 20, I think, even though I have it at a different place here. John chapter 20. I just want to point out something. I'm going to run through three scriptures real fast, if I can just get there. John 20. Jesus, at this point in the Gospel of John, has died for the sins of the world and has been resurrected. And he comes and he appears to the apostles, the 12, except one of them wasn't there. And he says to them, in verse 22, he says, and when he had said this, he was talking to them, and he says, and when he had said this, he breathed. breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now here's Jesus resurrected. These are people these are people that believe in who he is. They've seen the risen Christ and they believe in who he is. And Jesus breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now we know from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 that the first thing that happens in our process of becoming a Christian and starting to live the Christian life is that we need to be born again, and it starts with believing, right?
Yes.
You have to believe. And then it says, and those who believe, in Ephesians 1:13 it says, and those who believe, they are given the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to them as a seal, as a down payment, as a token for all the other things that are going to happen to them, and all of the promises that God has for his children. The giving of the Holy Spirit, Jesus breathing on the disciples at that moment, we get the Holy Spirit. When you believe, you have the Holy Spirit that now resides in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So we know that when we've accepted Christ into our life, we receive within that spiritual part of us, we receive the Spirit of God. Right?
Right.
We all agree with that. And then in the book of Acts, then there's something else that's talked about. So every single person here, and I only bring this out because there's some groups that say that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Spirit. Well, the Scripture teaches us that if you believe, you've received the Spirit. Right? Everybody see this?
Yeah.
If you believe in Jesus, then we get a token, we get a down payment, we get a seal stamped on us that says we're his. Right?
Yep.
And that's the giving of the Holy Spirit. So we all have the Holy Spirit. And then it says in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 1. Acts 1. 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. And if you jump down to verse 8, this promise of the Father is this, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. There, any time that the Spirit is given is for a purpose, isn't it? We don't drum up the Spirit. God bestows the Spirit. He empowers us with the Spirit of God. We don't demand from God. And we don't just kind of try to drum it up. God gives, empowers us, anoints us with his Spirit when he wants to do that. Is everybody clear about that? We don't demand of God. We ask God. We humbly ask God to be there for us, to empower us. But he will do it in his time and in his way. Isn't that right? And if you look at that next chapter in Acts chapter 2, it says, I'll read it. Acts 2, starting up in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, now this is where they had to wait until that time. They couldn't demand, we can't demand right now. God, we want you to pour out the Holy Spirit, and we expect it right now. No, we can ask God to pour out his blessing, to pour out his Spirit on us, and we can hope and we can pray that the timing of it is when we want it. But we better not be upset if it doesn't happen that way. Right? That's God's business, not ours. And so when it was the right time, they waited in Jerusalem 10 days, it was. They waited 10 more days before they got this promise to them. And it says in verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, that word filled can mislead people into thinking that there's something more that you don't have when the Spirit of God comes within you, because filled means, hey, there's more to it. When the word means to be supplied, to be accomplished, to be furnished, to be influenced by, to be imbued, which means that God is using a particular time to anoint someone, to empower someone to move in what the agenda of God is, what the will of God is for that particular time. That's what's going on. We all have the Spirit of God within us if we're born again. And then God does something special at times. He moves us at times. And this is what this filled with the Spirit's talking about. We're now being moved by the Holy Spirit, and it isn't like He takes us over. We sense His presence. We sense a power that comes, and we just submit to it. And then we listen to what He's having to say, and we do what He tells us to say. Or to do. This is moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have the power; He does. Is that right?
That's right.
And we've got to remember that. We've got to remember, you know, when somebody moves in the Spirit of God, we tend to say, because we want to be humble, that, that wasn't me, that was God. But I want to say something more about that as we go through this, okay? But that is absolutely correct. The power comes from God, and that is on His timing and in His way. Is there anybody that disagrees with me so far? Okay, I'm glad.
Okay, so now I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. Now we're going to start getting into this. I'm waiting for the right time to bring this up, and I was going to do it now, but I'm kind of sensing not to. So, we know that when we get the Spirit within us, that with the Spirit of God, there are gifts that the Spirit endows, gives to us. That is a special kind of anointing that he gives so that we can move in a particular ministry. Some people move in some ministry, and other people move in another different ministry. But anyone in the body of Christ can move in anything. I have laid hands on people and had them heal the things, but I don't have a healing ministry. That can happen because one of the gifts of the Spirit is healing. And He can use any one of us for that. But there are people that God has given special anointing as a continual ministry in those particular gifts of the Spirit of God. He also, when we get the Spirit given to us, we also have the fruit of the Spirit that we could move in, because He's there to empower us and encourage us to move in how the Spirit would react to situations, right?
Yeah.
So we have a tremendous ability, a tremendous power. That word power means ability. We have a tremendous ability. We have the opportunity. We have hope. That's come up this morning. We have hope where other people don't have hope. You understand? That doesn't mean things are going to go our way in everything. But we can surely rely and thank and trust the God of heaven, because we have this Holy Spirit within us. It's a down payment on things.
All right, now, Galatians chapter 3.
See, because I want us to continue to move on. We've had lots of things over the years about being willing to change and the Lord growing us up. And I always feel that for myself and for you as well, that we don't become satisfied. And I think maybe because I feel this so much is because I can see that I can settle for things when God has something greater. And I always have to keep pushing myself. You know, don't get too soft. Don't get too comfortable, because there's so much more to do. There's so much more out there. Isn't there?
Yeah.
Amen. And we have to be reminded of this kind of thing. God has a plan for us. The message on, you know, God's agenda, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You know, there's a plan. And we can just thought about, yeah, God has a plan. But for that guy, not for me. Poor little old me. I don't have much to give. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. You, all of you and me, we have the Spirit of the living God residing in us. That's fantastic. And it doesn't mean anything about us as individuals. All the praise and all the power and the glory goes to God. It's going to be God that's going to work through us.
Yes.
But I want to point this out here in Galatians chapter 3. And let me see if I want to start at the beginning or not. No. So verse 2. Galatians 3:2. This only what I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now made perfect with the flesh? Do we understand this? The beginning of our walk with God, we heard with faith and believed. Right?
Yes.
And we did what the Spirit was speaking for us to do. This is how we start out. You know, this is how we have to continue. We can't work in our flesh. We can't just say, well, I've had enough of this God thing. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. But, you know, please. We can close off the very thing that God wants us to do. And we're walking around in our flesh. And we even try to do things in church situations through our own mind and through our own, what we think is the right thing to do. And I love today, I love all these Sundays. We try to listen to what the Spirit is speaking.
Be sensitive to that. We don't always do things the same way. We're listening to, we need to pray here. We need to get into some little spiritual fighting powers and principalities. Then so be it. That's what we're going to do. But, you know, you and I can come in here and have a preconceived idea of what needs to happen and what it needs to be so that I myself feel fulfilled coming to a service. And if it doesn't happen, well, I'm going to walk out of here and not feel so hot. Right. The Holy Spirit wasn't here. No. No, the Holy Spirit is here. I think all of you sensed the Spirit, didn't you? Yeah. You know, Crystal, at the end of the worship, I mean, that was fantastic, wasn't it? What? Yeah?
Yeah.
There was a good anointing of the Spirit of God. There's lots of things in the Christian world where people are looking for the guineas, you know, that if it doesn't happen a certain way, if I don't feel a certain thing, then God's probably not here. No, the Spirit. You said if you allow your spiritual senses, I don't know how you could walk out of here not knowing that the Spirit of God really was ministering. Right?
Yes.
You can sense that. You can almost feel it in your hand sometimes. We were praying over people. I put my hands on some, and boy, I really felt things in my hands. It isn't that we're not going to feel things or not going to sense things. Those things are going to happen. But I don't demand that of God. And I don't think that if I don't feel this or I don't sense something, that means God isn't there. No, that's not true. But there's a lot of push for that. When I'm praying, when we pray for situations, what we want, the result that we want to have when we pray. And sometimes we don't get it. Does that destroy our faith? Or do we submit that to God? Do we trust God? Do we trust the sensing of the Spirit within us? When we pray for things, we've got to really just trust God that He heard.
Yeah.
Isn't that what's important?
Yeah.
Trust that He's heard. Trust that the result that comes back is the time that the Holy Spirit wants to do things in. You know, the power, that grand power that we want to see, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen at the moment that we pray for things. Right? But you know what? I was encouraged by all of the people that brought something up to pray for. And it was like Reggie was saying, boy, you look at all these things that are happening. We don't want to take all of that and end up being discouraged when we leave here. We take these things and by the Spirit of God, by that ability, that power, we hold those things before Jesus. And because we trust that He hears our prayers, that He is with us, this isn't just a wish and a hope.
Right.
Wishing and a hoping? Those of you that are old enough. You know, that isn't where we're at. We're more than the way that is, aren't we?
Yes.
Because we trust. And yes, things are gonna rip us right in the heart, and it feels like somebody just tore our chest apart when certain things happen in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean that we're less spiritual. That means that, yeah, we're still in a flesh and blood body, and we react to things, and it hurts, and doubts can come into our minds, and all kinds of things can happen. But you know what? A righteous man will stumble many times. But you know what a righteous man always does? He gets back up again. That's what the Scripture says.
Yeah.
A righteous man falls many times, but he gets back up. And so we might bloody our nose for hours, days, weeks, I don't know, months, maybe even years, but we're gonna come out of that. Because we are God's sons and daughters.
Amen.
and we have His Spirit. And when it gets right down to it, we might have to go through some things to really see, you know what? I really do trust God. He doesn't have to do it the way I want. I trust Him. Period.
Yes.
And we're all getting to that place, I think. What?
Last Sunday, when I went to see Josh and found out he was so much worse,
yeah.
You know, and after we had prayed, I was thinking, if I hadn't been trusting Him, I could have thought, oh wow, we let Him get worse. He's not answering my prayers.
Right.
But He answered my prayers by bringing him to a place where he was in a position to get the help he needed.
Yes.
Because he was too sick to be treated here.
The way, yeah.
And that showed me that He was in control the whole time. I just needed to be patient.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Patience.
Yes.
Patience. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to look now, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. So, we all here, I'm just double checking, we all here are saved people. Every single person in here, I think, is saved.
Amen.
You've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
We're saved.
Yes.
We still have our problems. There's still things that are happening in our lives, and we still sin, but we're still saved. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, there's a process in this salvation that we've got to understand that we're still here for a purpose, or for many purposes. Otherwise, once we're saved, why aren't we taken up to heaven?
Right.
Let's get out of this mess.
Yeah.
You know? We're here because there's a purpose for us. There's a purpose for you being here. And it can be little, tiny purposes, and there can be bigger purposes. It doesn't matter what they are. That's up to God where He chooses to use us and how He chooses to use us. We just want to be available to Him, right?
Yeah.
So, here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. Because this is important. Because it's still easy, even though we have the Spirit of God within us, to go our own way. To become passive about the things of God. And we need constant reminder, and we need to be pushed. And I think this is the Lord pushing us. He says this, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. You know, you hear something. Now, maybe we have bad memories, and so we don't remember something when we leave, and it's not because we don't want to remember. It's we have a physical problem, especially us older people, which I'm finding out is getting worse with me. Sometimes I walk out of here and I say, Kathy, what did I preach on today? No, it hasn't been that bad yet. But
yesterday.
But those things can happen to us. That doesn't mean that I'm not heeding it. But you know what? If we do have situations that where we don't remember something, you know what we should start to do? Take notes.
I can't read my writing.
Because take a printing lesson or something. If you want something bad enough, if you think that it's important, you will do the things that you need for that to happen.
Yes.
You know, I'm taking some training. I think it's important for this training that I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be starting. I think it's very important. I go... This is something I need to really take heed to.
I need to learn. I need to keep my focus. I need to be ready. I need to have all the equipment I need that is going to be needed for this particular thing. I need to be prepared for this. Now, we have been given a salvation. Salvation. We're not going to hell. We're not going to be, frying it up in the lake of fire. That's not where we're going. I'm so thankful that God so loved us that He gave us Jesus and what Jesus would do so that we wouldn't, because He loves us.
Amen.
So I want to serve this God. Right? So it says, so we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I was saying last week, I think, I thought, boy, my prayer life is really getting there. I'm starting to really like where my prayer life is. And then this was like a month ago, a month and a half ago. And I remember thinking this, oh yeah, I'm finally getting there where I want to be. Last week, I went, what the heck has happened? Something has slipped here. I got off, the enemy got me off focused, got me thinking about, distracted, got me thinking about this thing and that thing, and I got out of that pattern that I had gotten into, and especially that desire to not let anything get in the way of that precious time that I can have with the Lord. So, I let it slip. I need to take a more earnest heed. And we need to do this as Christian people if we're going to grow in Christ. If we really take the salvation that we've been freely given and take it honestly, then I need to take heed. It says in verse 2, for if the word spoken of angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's things that God has laid out there for his Christian family, for His sons and daughters. It's all right there. It's at our fingertips. But it's not that it comes so easily. We've got to pursue things. We've got to ask and keep on asking. We've got to seek and keep on seeking. We've got to knock and keep on knocking. That is something we have to do. See, we want God just to do it all for us. And I want to say that what I said earlier about, it was God, don't thank me for what just happened here. That was God, or I did this act of kindness. Well, that was God. That was God, but it was also you.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. It can be a fake humility, because what it does is, it's like you have no part to play in anything. You're just a little automaton that walks around led by the Spirit of God, and you have no control over what Jesus is doing to you. That is not the Spirit of God leading you. That isn't. God doesn't work that way. You're not a little robot that He turns a switch and you just do what He tells you to do. You have to agree. You have to be part of that. And I'm going to prove that to you from the Scripture. I know you want to hear that from the Scripture. Because you think I'm just making that up. Some of you maybe.
Alright, so if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
We know from the Scriptures
that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah? Oh, we have salvation, but there's more that God wants from us. Not to have eternal salvation, but that we take the salvation that has been so freely given and we work God's agenda. He has a plan. We're saved and there's a purpose for us to be here. And He wants that purpose to be accomplished. Doesn't He?
Yes.
And so it's up to us, it's our obligation to work that salvation out. Allow the Spirit of God to move through us, to learn how to be more sensitive to Him speaking to us. Now look what it says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It says this, we are laborers together with God. Oh, wait a minute, no. It's just God who works. No, that isn't what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that we are laborers together with God. God isn't going to do it all by Himself. He provides the power and ability. Yeah? We don't have the power and the ability. But He supplies the power and ability. He supplies the direction. It's His agenda that we're to be seeking. And if we are asking, knocking, seeking, and we sense what He's telling us to do, and we go out and do it, then we're co-laboring with God. It's not in our power. Let's make sure we get that straight. I'm not saying that there's an equal thing going on there. You understand what I'm saying? But God wants us to lovingly respond to His leading, to His prompting. We're not robots. You know, these people that follow satanic stuff, they're zombies. They're controlled by another spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us, and God wants to work in concert with us.
Right.
He wants us to co-labor, listen to what He has to say, and then be obedient to do. But to do, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you don't have faith, but the faith that you have doesn't get anywhere unless you're listening and doing. Not just hearers of the word, but those that are doers of the word, right?
Yes.
This all weaves together the way it's supposed to.
There's another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 has this same idea to it.
Verse 1. Here's Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he says, he's talking about himself, we, as workers together with Him. Who would that Him be? God, Jesus, right? We are laborers together with Him. That means we are working in concert with the Spirit of God. And we can reject His leading, His prompting, His direction. We can reject it. He gives us that opportunity. We can be stubborn. We can be obtuse, not even knowing that the Spirit's even speaking to us about something. Right? I mean, that happens to me, I think, all the time. Oh boy, I missed that, God. Oh, I see what you were saying to me back then. Oh, okay. I should have been a little kinder to that person. Oh, okay, I got you.
So this was really great.
Glenn prayed. He had a little prayer. And in it,
he said, and the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith. Did you say that, John? Do you remember? Author and finisher of our faith. You know, it's really great that when you start something, that you finish it. We've begun a walk in the Spirit. When we became born again. God wants us to finish some things. Now, like what we were just talking about, it's co-laboring. Jesus is ready to finish it. He's the author and finisher. He's gonna give us all that we need, but we have to enter in with him. Yeah? And there's so much, it's like, there's so much that God wants us to do in the little things, the little works of kindnesses that we have with people that we meet, being aware of the needs of other people being led by the Spirit to, do all these little things. And, you know, there might be these big things that are going to happen, but really, the song again, that dream little, dream small. You know, let's just be available for whatever God wants to do. And not downplay it as though that's just little things. No, it's big. All of this is woven together here today. I hope that we can be encouraged by the Spirit of God, that we be people that along with Jesus will finish the race. Finish. Not just get into it and then stand and watch other people run. Or, you see the commercial where the little kid is up at T-ball and he hits that ball and then he starts running up first baseline and the dad's up and he's all excited, the kid touches first base and then he runs off the field and over to the table where the lemonade is. And so the dad runs over to the lemonade table and he's going, and then he goes, no use. The kid is not really engaged in the game. He's just out there having fun, We are engaged with God's plan. That we see that it works on every single level, from our little level all the way up, and there's a grand level, and there's a national and world level, and we all play a part, and we all want to be part of that. Don't we?
Yes.
So, Lord, I ask, Lord, that we be finishers of our faith, that we run the race with endurance to the end, that what you've started in us, Lord, you are able to finish. I thank you, God, today that you want to encourage us to reach in there through prayer, through spiritual warfare, through just asking and seeking and knocking, Lord, that we would persevere to the end. Because we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we thank you, God, today, that it's established in our hearts.